For what seems like weeks now, I've been describing, in laconic detail, just how tough it is keeping a 600, or so, square foot greenhouse in an adequate enough state of repair to do its job whilst at the same time planting it out in such a way as to produce a range of varied and edible produce. Truth be told, if I was to take it any more seriously than I currently do, it'd cease being an enjoyable pastime and become a job of work. As some of you may be aware, notwithstanding the fact that the world is changing before our very eyes, me and work are done, I've paid my dues, it's the turn of the state to pay me back with some of what I've loaned it over the years. The plants are just one piece of the jigsaw: the structure, the glass, the soil, the manure, the water, the hose that delivers the water butts, the watering cans, the sun, the rain, the frost, the plant pots, the seed trays, the compost heap, the canes, the strings, the tools, the potting table and my trusty old bench all come together to create an environment that, although frustrating and infuriating at times, provides an oasis of sanity that has become invaluable during these unprecedented times. Image here, the trusty old bench, a work in progress. What do I do when I'm not attending to one or more of the above? You might well ask, and there's a simple answer. Not a great deal, but mostly it's one or more of three things. I sometimes do two of them at the same time, as none of them is too taxing. I think, I tweet and I potter. The thinking part comes naturally to me. I've always got the germ of an idea for an article or for a chapter to squeeze into the ongoing saga that is 25. I think about politics, foraging, growing, cooking my family and my friends. I ponder on mortality, the meaning of life, bird song, beer, dominoes and holidays. I take time to reflect on my past and consider my future. I wonder if lending my vote to the Tories was the wrong thing to do, and I wonder if I was right about Boris Johnson all along. I agonize over my failings and marvel at my small infrequent successes. I be just an ordinary bloke. Potter verb. Pottering, present participle. Occupy oneself in a desultory but pleasant way. I'm quite happy just to potter about by myself here. Synonyms. Do nothing much middle dot amuse oneself middle dot tinker about middle dot tinker around middle dot fiddle about middle dot fiddle around middle dot do odd jobs middle dot mess about middle dot mess around middle dot piddle about middle dot piddle around middle dot. Move or go in a casual, unhurried way. I might potter into nice for the day. Pottering is a bit of an art form, and it's something many of us indulge in, I'm sure. The above definition says it all, really. We all potter in our own way, to while away our time and to allow our minds to wander. All I really have to say about it is this: don't feel guilty if you find yourself pottering. It isn't a crime, yet. Just lately, for the last 8 weeks or so, I've been combining pottering with thinking about COVID-19. I'm not usually short of a theory or two, or a firm opinion. But coronavirus and all its attendant theories has me stumped. Who can really believe a viral disease that has manufactured DNA strands within its makeup and is threatening the whole planet, sick, resulted from someone drinking a bowl of bat and pangolin soup, albeit a soup that was obviously past its best before date? Who wants to believe that, novel and movie-like, a tired, distracted scientist walked out of a laboratory in China and forgot to close the door behind him? What kind of conspiracy nut notes that American athletes from a high security, possibly CIA/deep state cover, military base in the US, being in Wuhan just prior to the start of outbreak, means 2 and 2 make 5? What on earth could possibly lead normally rational people to believe that a small coterie of extremely wealthy, powerful and power-hungry people, with the collusion of the WHO, the UN, deep state bad actors and at least one government, has unleashed a virus, possibly one that has a built-in facility to mutate at regular intervals, on a generally unsuspecting world? Who could possibly further believe that this same exclusive coterie, they know who they are, has a small army of useful idiots, all of them sucking on the teats of mammon, who, seemingly immune from this disease, are out the pushing the globalist, one world agenda for no other reason than they're altruists who want only the best for their fellow global citizens. Who would have ever considered that the economy of the Western world would be put in real, potentially unrecoverable jeopardy, to attempt to control a disease that is likely to kill no more than 0.03% of the global population? I make no judgment, because truthfully I don't know how COVID-19 started or when and how it will end. I've broadly been following the rules because it's been easy for me to do so, living where I do. I'm 69 this year and I've had bronchial pneumonia in the recent past. I share the care of a housebound dementia sufferer, who I'd hate to see become ill because of my actions. Having said this, I have a deep and immutable feeling that, whatever the truth of the matter, wheels are now in motion to throw an hundred of spanners into the works. I know, for instance, that we've left the EU, but we haven't really left yet, and I'm still, pessimist that I am, not counting my chickens. When David Cameron resigned, I said something would happen. I'm not saying that COVID-19 was delivered to us in an effort to stop us leaving the EU and to stop Donald Trump being re-elected, but I am saying that there are those who see it as an opportunity to facilitate these things if they possibly can. Image here, signs of life, cream with those. In the real world, away from conspiracy theories, the summer fast approaches, and with it the first real signs of life are starting to form in my little oasis of sanity. I've found a space for some more potatoes and late developing tomato plants. I think I've stopped the mice getting at my brassica, and I've got a little crop of finger aubergine and chili seedlings, which I'd just about given up on, starting to look healthy enough to plant out. Image here, signs of life. String em up. Early tomatoes are forming, although it's still getting cold enough at night to require fleeces to be used to trap the day's heat. I'm hoping that by next week we'll be past the possibility of frosts, as it's time the larger tomato plants were strung to provide them with the support they need as they grow taller. Some of the plants which set off in the ground as delicate seedlings just 6 weeks or so ago are now approaching a couple of feet in height and at real risk of bending, which isn't good. Image here, signs of life. There's a boiling coming. I staggered the planting of my potatoes in the hope that I'd be harvesting new potatoes a couple of days a week from the end of this month right through until the end of July, with the ones I've recently planted taking me through to August and possibly even into September. It's a simple enough thing, and I know potatoes are relatively inexpensive, but there really isn't anything to match the flavor when they are cooked straight from the ground, having first been washed, obviously. The world is changing, and we probably all have to change with it, to a greater or lesser extent. I can foresee a time when some of our basic freedoms could be curtailed, locked down like, and some of our rights may well be removed for the good of all, sick. I don't think it will be in my lifetime, and I hope I'm wrong, but maybe we have to go there, and, just maybe, there isn't a great deal we can do about it. Happy rough gardening.